I'd like to call to order the CCI meeting for Tuesday, January 9th, 2018. We're missing several members. The chair is not here. We need to elect someone to chair the meeting or run the meeting. We've just got a fourth person to come in as a quorum. You guys want to vote? Who wants to run the meeting?
Gary is used to running things. All in favor of Gary.
Okay.
All right. Charge, man. So why don't we do a quick roll count?
Sure.
Roll. And go from there.
So this is Gary Walvatny, Planning Commission.
Rama, Citizen Advisory Member.
David Baker, President of the Rosemont Summit Neighborhood Association.
Jennifer Arnold, Staff.
Russ Axelrod, Mayor.
Ken Pryor, Member at Large.
So with that, we can move on to approval of the December 19th meeting notes.
I would note we started at 5:45, the taping, while we waited to see if people showed up.
Yes.
So we are on a short schedule. And I've just know I have got to go to a neighborhood association by 7. So
okay.
I need to leave kind of promptly.
That's good.
Okay. I wasn't here for the meeting for the minutes, so I'm going to kind of defer to others, but I have two questions.
I was also not here for that meeting, so.
Do you want to wait and we could?
Yeah, does that make sense?
I would suggest we might.
Since only two of the five people who were at that meeting are here.
Let's wait and approve the minutes later, maybe?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Should we take a little vote on that?
Sure.
Yep.
All in favor of waiting on voting on the minutes?
Yeah, deferring the vote. Yeah.
Yes.
Aye. Yes. Yes. So let there be four.
4-0.
All right.
Okay. David, citizen comments.
Thank you.
You're up.
All right. So the Rosemont Summit Neighborhood Association is dealing with a potential 7-lot PUD in the neighborhood. And so far it's good. We had a great neighborhood meeting and but one of the complexities of this particular application is it hinges on a lot line adjustment. And this lot line adjustment would allow access to the new subdivision. So one of the challenges is in the event that the applicant isn't able to make a deal with the neighbor to do the lot line adjustment, it would then require the applicant to access the property from a different point. And that would, it would substantially change the project and the scope of the project. But the code, I believe, doesn't create an opportunity for an additional meeting with the neighborhood because the applicant has already satisfied the requirement to have that one meeting with the neighborhood association for that project. So I think it would be helpful for, I don't know if the CCI has already looked at this, but it's just something that has come to us and I thought, wow, this would be, you know, good information for the CCI because from us, from a neighborhood association perspective, we're like, well, what's going to happen if this changes? Will we have a chance to discuss this with the applicant? So far, the applicant has been great with us, and we're anticipating that they would come back and talk about, you know, what they plan to do. But there isn't any protection in the code, and that might be nice to include that. So
it's actually good for you to come in and say that because that is exactly one of the things we've talked about, and to have it come up in real life rather than in our speculative.
Well, it has come up in a little later in the process, but this
right,
to come up
true.
This early is amazing.
It is, yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not surprising. I mean,
well, it's not surprising at all. It is kind of in the plan, but unfortunately it's not actually in the code now. I guess my suggestion would be to encourage the developer. It seems like they've been cooperative. And maybe talk to staff. And they could even make an inquiry with the fellow, hey, you know, because of the change, it seems like it'd be reasonable to do. If it wasn't, particularly since it changes the project so much, it sounds like. And if that opportunity wasn't provided, then I think that would be a significant issue when it comes to the Planning Commission. If it rolled forward and wasn't addressed.
Yeah, it could save him some time, because then it might meet opposition later on if it's significantly, I mean, that's the thing that we're kind of debating is, what does materially change mean? And that's something that would be, might be a good, you know, foil to look at and, you know, proof of concept kind of a thing. And just, yeah, staff would, I guess, have to give them sort of a, you know, urge them to do it, because...
Well, and I guess staff could, because if there's, in their interpretation, a significant enough change, that could warrant it, maybe at that early stage, to warrant a second meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. So there could be a basis for that, actually. Sure.
We'll just have to wait and see, because... we don't know if they've been able to make an agreement yet, but we're kind of looking ahead and seeing, okay, what could potentially happen here, and that's one of the risks, I think.
So am I right in understanding that the number of meetings between the neighborhood association and the developer, as it stands now in the code, is it just one meeting?
Just one.
You can't hold more than one meeting?
You can hold more than one, but you're only required to hold one.
Right. So that's my second question. If that is the case, is the developer willing to meet and be, you know, is he eager or willing to meet with you guys and then continue the conversation beyond the, you know, mandated, code mandated one meeting?
I believe so. And I say that because we've had two meetings with the applicant, which has been great. Because having two meetings, the applicant was able to get feedback from the neighborhood. The neighborhood was also able to get a better idea of the project. And then at that second meeting, we had a really robust conversation. So I'm hopeful that if something changes, we'll be able to have that meeting. But sometimes we're dealing with a benevolent applicant who lives in the community of West Lynn.
Right.
So.
I mean, it essentially boils down to meeting the letter of the law and meeting the spirit of the law. The spirit of the law is to encourage conversation and encourage continued discussion until the issues are resolved. But if I understand what you're saying, it could be a completely different developer who goes by the book, and here is one meeting, and they go through the motion and not really bother to meet again. I think that's a significant problem if the code says required is one meeting.
Right.
And that's where, at least in this particular instance you're bringing forward, this person is more willing to talk and discuss and go forward. What is your impression? Is this person willing to continue to engage and until all the issues are resolved, or is it, or you don't get that feeling?
Well, based on all the interactions we've had, I think that he's willing to work with the neighborhood and wants to do something that works for everybody.
Right.
But like you say, the code really is our protection. If there's some gaps there, it's.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. That's important to...
I think it'd be very reasonable to have staff take a look at the difference in the two approaches.
Yeah.
Is it a significant enough change to warrant requirement for another one? That would be very key to get clear with staff. Secondly, make sure the applicant understands the risks of not doing that. Okay. There's high risk to that, compromising the success of his project potentially. So it's to his benefit to reach out and to communicate what's going on and get that feedback.
And I think more fundamentally, like you're saying, the fundamental point to address here is that if you can embed the concept of continued discussions until either the issues are all resolved or they're not resolved. I mean, if we can incorporate that in the code, then it's possibly give more flexibility so that nobody can invoke the one rule, one meeting rule, and then just move on. You know,
right.
I think that's. Am I right in sensing that point in terms of trying to provide protection to the neighborhood association meet?
Yes, and I think the protection goes both ways, because having that additional meeting, I think, sets the project and the neighborhood up to both be successful in the process.
Right.
So,
right. My own gut feeling is that rather than prescribe the number of meetings, required number of meetings in the code, if the code puts in a flexible framework that in addition to this first meeting, subsequent meetings, you know, what is the end point we want to incorporate in the code?
So what sort of attendance have you had at the two meetings so far?
Gosh, for the big meeting with the developer, I think we were 28.
Okay.
The pre-app, we had 15.
Okay.
And then the informal meeting before, it was our regular attendance, 15 to 20.
I was at that meeting, but I walked out when they talked about it, but I came as an overview discussion along with some staff when this is the neighborhood association was kind of getting up and running, and staff came to talk a little bit about the planning process.
Right.
And so myself and John Williams went, and Eileen Stein
okay.
went to that neighborhood association meeting.
Okay.
But when the developer came in to talk about the project, I left.
Yeah.
It turned out to be pretty good timing with all that, because I was kind of anticipating a project happening soon, and I wanted to prepare the neighborhood for how we navigate this, this flowchart. And then sure enough, there's an application, and boom, we're going. So
yeah,
I think this is a very important point, an excellent point. I think this is the kind of thing that we really need to look at carefully.
So just in all disclosure, the application is deemed complete.
The application has been deemed complete, yes.
Yes.
And now it's hinging on.
So you'll want to document this as an ex parte communication.
Okay.
Make sure you do.
Okay. That's, I also live in Rosemont Summit neighborhood. And so that's why I don't attend any of these meetings, because otherwise I have to walk out as Russ did or claim them as ex parte. So.
Right, yeah, sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's fine.
It's easy enough to do.
But this is helpful.
As long as it's recorded and documented and you declare whether it's because you have bias or not, and just make sure, that's all.
Sure.
It's okay. You just want to document it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I just open the door if you have any questions. We're going through a really interesting kind of land use process right now, and we're learning a lot along the way.
I would suggest that because of the quasi-judicial process and the ex parte, that we not discuss it probably further.
Okay.
Specifics here with the chair of the planning commission or with the mayor. So, duly note the communication and talk to staff.
Great, okay.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't
and
hurt
good
for
luck.
Them to
no, I mean, in a good. I mean, I think you'll have good luck. And
it wouldn't hurt for them to look at this and see how it fits, how it lives up, to what you're experiencing.
Sure, I'll take this with me.
Just
yeah.
mark
yeah.
it up and.
Yeah, we're working on compiling this. We're looking at the whole process. Maybe you've heard. So.
Okay. Well, I need to run to my next meeting.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to come in.
Okay.
Thanks, David.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, the next item on our agenda is to continue on with our discussions for the past year.
I can give one little update note
sure.
about suggestions. So I talked to Bob today because he wasn't going to be here, and we just sort of touched base because I had complicated schedule the last couple of meetings and haven't. I think it's been two. I haven't been here actually, which is kind of
yeah.
a milestone for me, missing that much. But we talked just sort of generally in the big picture about where things were. I know that Carrie prepared a section on early involvement. I think that's what this is here. and that...
Yeah, I did the early involvement. I know I did the consistency.
Yeah, you were on consistency. Yeah. And then there were some pieces that you were developing, Gary.
Mine are still in process.
Okay, they're still in process. So here's the thought that we kind of had. We talked about a couple goals for us would be to... Let me see if I can get this straight. To wrap up... The goal here we'd like to do is wrap up our write-up, the big write-up, and get it to council by the end of February.
That sounds good.
Okay, so the question becomes in the next phase, can we rely on individuals to prepare their part? And then Bob was thinking of maybe one or two of us getting together and putting it kind of all together. And so the question is to sort of check in on get our calendars out and just see about if it made sense if the time was needed to work on it, and depending on where others are, Carrie isn't here, so I'm not sure, or what if others are preparing any sections, I'm not sure.
So Emily has
a section
and it was a section, I think I had three sections, and so she took one of the sections. And we talked about it several weeks ago, or I think it was early December. And if she had questions, then she was going to check in with me, but maybe next week. Are we having a meeting next week?
Well, that's what I'm reasoning this for. Are we going to have a meeting next week, or shall people work on their pieces and get them done? And then we, you know,
come back in two weeks
on the 23rd and assemble, like, kind of, would be.
That may be more reasonable.
So, if we're going to do that approach, I guess everyone needs to kind of step it up and get their pieces written.
Yep.
Okay. And whoever has other pieces, I don't know. And maybe what we can do is connect back with Bob and the chair on the status and. Maybe she could put out a little update about the sections and the timing and that overall plan. And I missed this is new. We talked about getting it diagrammed out, and it's great that Joan looks like he's taken a stab and started throwing that together.
So, and we had talked about doing a flow diagram like this, and you said that planning, we had this discussion about the software that planning had, and that it
wasn't shareware or something.
Yeah, it wasn't very amenable to kicking out into other formats.
File formats that he can then use to upload it to the website. Because most of the modern software have ability to output the diagram or whatever document you're working on in different format, like PDF, HTML, and Word, Microsoft Word doc format. And so, but the one he had couldn't cope. At least that's what he
so
said.
So what did he use here?
I don't know.
I
what
think he just did this. Longhand, I think he just.
Did he use Word and just sort of assemble a. Can almost use an Excel, but.
Bob was talking to him and trying to figure out, you know, what kind of a software platform, because Bob thought that Visio, which was taken over by Microsoft, was something that was quite good at producing flow diagrams.
I have that. I use Visio in my business. It's not real user-friendly. Yeah, I was hoping it was. I bought it, and it's not been all that great. I mean, I can do some things, but some
I use
simple it, ones. It's easy to do simple flow diagrams.
I've used it, but it's been 8 to 10 years, and so I haven't seen any recent updates to it.
But I don't know what the most current project management kind of software is out there, but I've seen some pretty elaborate ones.
You'd think this day and age this would be kind of a no-brainer, fairly simple thing, but okay. But well, we could just focus more on the content of things.
That's up for the guys and the staff to kind of figure out, investigate, and find one that works.
So is this the first time everyone's seen this?
Yeah. This is the first.
Unfortunately, we don't have John to sort of walk us through what he's done, but we could.
Looks like he.
This is version one.
It's dated December 29th.
Okay, so we worked on it all around the holiday time.
It's nice that it has the decision points and directs you in different directions.
Mm-hmm. I noticed on the cover of his thing, he noted. So let's see, it says the task timeline identifies the steps to complete the process from the pre-app phase to the hearing and ending with potential appeal. Process presented exists in the coming. So this is how it exists currently.
Right.
And then in terms of the meeting date conflicts, he noticed that next meeting, the next one that we just talked about, we do have a council session that day. And actually, it just came from working out our draft agenda and probably won't. It might probably be tight making it here after that, so it probably would be a good time for everyone to finish up their stuff, and then for us to return on the 23rd.
Okay.
So that's probably a good idea. And then he's noted another conflict on February 20th, where council has a meeting. Let's see. We do? Oh, the CCI scheduled a meeting. The city council has a work session for that same evening. I have a work session on the 19th.
Which would be a Monday, which would make more sense for council.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a typo. But no, because normally the CCI, we don't meet on those nights when council.
Yeah.
And we were pushing some dates around, I don't know if it was February. So I don't know, I question that. We can get that figured out. So let's not worry about that. But maybe this is, again, the basis for having everyone finish up their write-ups and analysis and reviews and come ready to jump and go. And
is the 19th a holiday?
I don't. Oh.
President's Day?
Oh, it does say President's Day. Ew. That didn't come up in our meeting. We were just talking about it last night. So John might be one step ahead of us here. Maybe the plan was to push it to the 20th because the 19th was, so.
Yeah, that's probably it.
That's not good. So we don't want to miss two periods there. Oh, but that's February.
That's February.
I'm less worried about that. Because by then we should have a pretty decent, probably compiled draft. Getting it close to kind of coming to the Planning Commission if we're going to try and make the end of February. There's a lot happening in the end of February.
So the January 16th meeting is canceled, right? No meeting on that day?
We're going to go to the
23rd. What we're talking about.
Yeah. Okay.
Pushing it to the 23rd.
So he
but
already
to get any write-ups done in between there.
Yeah. So he has already scheduled one on 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
Upcoming meeting, 23rd. Yeah. We should probably confirm the, maybe I'm getting ahead of myself here, but since maybe we're on the topic, I don't know, do you want to confirm what the agenda might be?
Confirm the agenda for the 16th or the 23rd?
For the 23rd.
For the 23rd.
Because you'll have to post it. By the end of this week.
So do you have any sense whether or not John's going to be back in?
So he's just out sick today. I imagine he'll be back in tomorrow.
Okay.
And he'll be reviewing the tape.
Okay. If
in the past, he's put a preliminary agenda. Like, he didn't call it a preliminary. He just said an agenda. When it came closer to the meeting, there was a revised agenda. So that may be an option.
Yeah.
If you know that you're going to be discussing one topic, we can have that on there, and then as it gets closer, you could add to it.
I think it's pretty much the same agenda. It's just that our details will change, but the agenda item doesn't really change.
So I can just note that and give it to him.
Yeah, that would be great. And I think it goes to Carrie then, for since she's chair.
Mm-hmm. That sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. So housekeeping's done. We could go back to it.
So I think what's really nice about this flow diagram, too, is that John has incorporated the state-mandated actions. Those are outlined in dashes, mm-hmm. dashed lines, because those get a little more confusing to bring into mm-hmm. the CDC requirements. Mm-hmm. So it's nice to know where they actually come into play.
Mm-hmm.
This seems really well organized. Just having it in three columns for application, processing, and then appeal.
You know, one of the things we haven't talked about in this review of our planning, we've sort of just looked at the conventional planning process, but what about expedited and things, you know, we really not, it would be nice to have some sort of comparative format or something even to illustrate or explain to those in the community when they come up, because it can be very confusing.
We are in the process of our one and only ever.
Right.
So, and I think that's...
Well, you guys denied it, right? Didn't you? Is it being appealed?
It was continued to tomorrow night because...
Oh, it was continued. I thought it was...
Yeah, so we...
Sorry.
This final decision and order is the subject tomorrow night.
Okay.
So I just don't want to go into specifics.
Yeah, let's not get into specifics. No. Right. No, we don't want to.
But no,
But you think?
I think I take your point. I'm kind of curious about, you know, a layer, drilling down a layer in terms of the internal groups of staff or public works or whatever, when their information is supposedly due to whomever. Because what, in my mind, and part of the reason we were discussing the software is that over time you should be able to develop some benchmarks in terms of times in that process, and ultimately get to a point where, okay, you've entered a date, an application, and a profile jumps out that says, okay, this is the way things should fall. And then people can start, you know, making adjustments or, you know, taking a look at something, so they know that, okay, in X amount of time, there's going to be a neighborhood meeting. And that schedule should be, you know, public. And the various groups would have an opportunity to say, oh, we looked at this, our workload is such, or prioritized, or needed an expedited environment. You know, that shouldn't be a big mystery. That should be called out right up front, and people can say if they can make those dates or not, and what's realistic. So it does involve a little bit, a layer more.
Yeah, it's an added complexity. Certainly, you know, I mean, having this as a baseline is really helpful.
Yeah.
And then when we talk about those reference timelines, like when we want Public Works to maybe, when we want them all not to wait on each other, right? We want them all working parallel, finish their reviews,
as
so we gain some days.
Exactly.
You could speak about it relative to this in helping out how it it benefits the overall plan.
Well, and that could be from this decision triangle for complete. And
right.
If it's yes, then you go into parallel tracks
right.
down below here. But that would be another,
I think, as
a future version.
Yeah, as a version one, it's okay. But I think it would be better if many of these little boxes, I mean, obviously within those boxes, there are lots of details. So I think, like Gary was saying, within these three stages, he's saying initial submittal of application, and then the processing, and then appeal. I think we can consider putting in more details, you know, from this, and then link them up together so that at every stage, you know, what are our goals. The goal is to, at every stage of the process, we need to know what's happening and what is the timeline, you know, how long, how many days does it take, and when does that process conclude. Some of the details are here in skeletal form, but I think Ken is saying, the more details and simplified presentation of those details in a linked up format, that would be the version two. Because looking at it,
electronically, yeah.
I don't know, it says here pre-application conference expires 180 days. Does it, then next one is neighborhood association meeting. So to me, reading this, it isn't quite clear whether the 180 day refers to the entire, this tree, or it's just refers to the neighborhood association. So I think.
Well, it clarifies down here about when the clock starts.
Says here, begin of 120 days.
That's when the 120 day clock starts.
But here it says it expires 180 days.
So
right, the whole, that's the whole 6 months. That's the whole package.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's just between from this first box to the third box.
So you have to connotate some of these things for, you know, lay people.
Yeah.
But I think this would, you know, if you can get that level of detail, this would be a tremendous asset to developers. Talk about being a user, or, you know, a friendly environment for development. This would clarify a lot of things. It would put pressure on staff, though, because now you're saying, okay, these are expectations, and, you know.
Well, they're all working under these already.
Yeah.
So, they understand those.
So it shouldn't be that really big of a deal.
Yeah.
Jennifer understands them. You know what I was thinking is, you know, necessarily, may not necessarily have to link up, although electronically would certainly make sense, but if you had, like, at this point or wherever this point is where staff reviews stuff, you could have like a letter A box and say, refer to table whatever, and there it is. It just lists out the procedures that the staff are following to coordinate their reviews in order to turn it around. So you could that way too.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple enough in our diagrams. And so in our packet that we put together, we could at least have a, you know, a table that hits those things or the targets or what we'd like to see.
Yeah. I mean, it can be tiered. I mean, you can have, like you said, a little, and then have a more detailed diagram of that particular activity. But electronically, I think, is kind of when you start linking them, then you get a feel for the process.
We could just have reference to tables. I mean, it could just do an offshoot. See table A, one. See table two. See table three. Right. And each of those, we very simply just put that information.
If we put, say, a dot, which is the initial, just opposite to the initial contact, so that's the starting point, and that's the ending point, and put 180 days, I can easily understand with one glance. I know that from start to finish, there is 180 days. Mm-hmm. So then it becomes easier. I'm just trying to look at this from the point of view of a person who isn't involved in this and who wants to know, you know, visually what exactly. So, you know,
it actually
you don't
goes
even
to here 180.
Right. Well, so okay,
not the appeal, but yeah, right. I totally get your point.
Right. So here it will end here, mm-hmm. and if you put 180 days. So the arrow starts from there and it ends here, and that will be 180, and then appeal, I don't know how
you know,
much is.
You know, we could almost come to, we could almost create a separate chart on just the schedule piece that could lay those milestones out.
Or you could put, you know, the appeal process could almost be a folder under, you know,
or a separate one.
This is what we're doing, and
appeal process is a lot more complicated, so it could you could say when does the appeal kick in this within this framework, and then say put a star and say refer to document 173 for details of appeal process, and then you can shift all this thing to that particular. Mm-hmm. So by making it more visual, by using a more simplified structure, it becomes easy. So there is no mystery behind any of this.
Well, you know, having two forms, I mean, you could have this complexity of a diagram that's okay, but you could also have that simplistic schedule just laid out in a a histogram.
Timeline.
Timeline, a regular Gantt kind of thing, or a simplified Gantt sort of chart.
So, you know, this kind of confusion wouldn't happen. So, mm-hmm. And also this 99.030, for me, I would say, what is that, you know? Mm-hmm. So we could
so I just clarified so
that's zero,
so right, that's zero, and so you have 180 days from this pre-app conference to and then to the deadline for submitting your application, or you have to have another pre-app conference, then 30 days for staff review for to determine whether or not it's complete,
right?
And then that's when the 120 clock starts, and all of the rest of this has to happen within 120 days.
Mm-hmm. So you could say phase one is what you're talking about here, the application submission and then
process,
review process, and then phase two lasts for 30 days and then ends in whatever time, and then the 120 clock starts. The counting.
Complete.
Yeah, I don't know if are you saying the 120 starts from here or
no. Right here.
Yeah.
Once
then
the deem complete.
This.
Yeah. This is a separate line, so it has its own zero.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right, and it goes all the way over to here.
Right. So I think that's how
I thought there was also 180 days is to this point. For some reason, I thought it was this whole process had to be done, but. So
thought
maybe
it was
not.
Too. Yeah, Gary knows.
Yeah, so it's.
See what I'm saying?
So it's all the way here, all the way down here,
right,
and all the way down to here.
So you could actually show these phases in color background.
Yes.
Phase one,
phase
two.
Yeah.
So I mean, just simple things that make it.
Visual color presentation.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know what software is, and that could be complicated anyways. Yeah. I mean, he probably worked so hard to just put this together.
Right.
This.
I think the thing is that given the right tools, I mean, there was a reminds me of the complexity of presenting medical test results to the lay person when they go to the website, patient website, their own account. And the other one, previously it used to be printed form, a printed paper. You just got the numbers. You didn't know what the number meant and whether you're, you know, okay or not okay. And then they started using the color to tell you where the normal lies and where the abnormal lies and where you are in that coding form. So I think it's doable to make it more.
There are a lot of different ways
well,
you
remember,
can do it.
Remember, for us though, we don't have to really figure all that out here. We just can get our document together, and part of the recommendation in the committee moving forward would be in creating those brochures and the things we're going to do, which we'll be involved with.
Yeah.
You know, maybe we have to bring in a specialist in, maybe too, perhaps.
Yeah.
So if we don't have someone on staff to do that, we could always, you know, talk to a graphics person or bring a graphics person in to help with the actual. Find the documents that are prepared down the road.
Somebody who's doing planning at PSU or
intern.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know. But we don't have to worry about those complexities so much now.
Right,
great ideas.
I mean, the thing is, like, for example, all these numbers, I'm assuming it refers to the code.
CDC.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you could color code in here in the legend. You can say. And numbers color coded in red refer to CDC codes, with the details of which may be found in CDC manual available at the website.
Yeah.
So, making it easier to digest the information to get an understanding of what this process means. Like Gary's diagram is good. There is the zero. Here is the end. And then there's another new one starts with a zero and goes 420. Right. Like you said, Ken, the timeline is gradually taking shape.
Yeah.
So really, we have 210 potentially to 330.
It looks good.
So that gives you a real feel for it, and if you've got that linked up on the critical points on a computer, I mean, people should be able to get a feel for it right away. Okay, this is where I'm at. And over time, you'd actually get a history of the complexity and cost of the project and those times, completion times.
Yeah, and moving forward, it also, that kind of a picture also allows you to constantly reassess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where are the inefficiencies creeping up? Where can we do better, even if we are doing okay now?
Yeah.
Some of the process, the sub-process within all these things will come into focus. And you can, like you're saying, you know, they can eliminate the ones that not necessarily.
You might find redundancies or whatever. I mean, that's,
Well, and I think the first 180 days are really on the back of the applicant, because if they were, it depends on where their design, what stage their design was at when they went to the pre-app conference. If they had a really developed design at that point, this 180 days will not be that long.
Yeah, it's not going to be. The better their design, the shorter that period's going to be, actually.
Yeah.
I mean, the more they know about a project.
So the maximum.
Which helps the back end.
Yeah.
If you need it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Maximum allowed is 180. Is that right?
Right.
Yeah.
So 180 there.
Yeah.
And then.
You are saying it could shrink if the application has been well prepared.
Right. So if the applicant comes into a pre-app conference with a concept and not a lot of detail, then they may need that whole six months.
It's going to grind through.
Yeah.
Before they can submit an application.
Yeah.
And then staff. I mean, it's really, that 30 days is going to be tight, I would imagine, to get a review done.
We're usually sending the letter out on day 29.
Does any of this make sense to you, Jennifer, though? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I made the original diagram, the 20-foot-long banner, so I'm in my seventh year of learning how to do planning as a student, so I understand that after a year of you guys trying to work on it, when you don't work in it every day, it's complicated to understand. So planning is really hard to get.
I think this is really great stuff, because if you're a developer, time is money. And staff time is important too. And I think when you start setting out expectations, you're going to encourage people to be more precise in what they want, because they know the clock is ticking and they can see. And they better be prepared coming in.
I would suggest maybe by the time we come back in our next meeting, everyone just give a few thoughts to kind of the utility of this. So this,
absolutely,
this in and of itself is going to be fine with for our purposes of our background document in terms of just here's the process. We can cross-reference it. Maybe with some embellishments we could improve, like whatever, how the clock referred to.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe a few simple things. But then, you know, other embellishments and expansion we can go in the recommendation to get prepared.
Yeah. And
it's not something for us to work on or
no,
fix.
No, I mean, that's going to be
but this
job.
Is perfect for our background in terms of laying the framework of what we've been looking at the process.
Yeah.
So
if we get the outline correct, most of the other pieces will then can work on it, as you say, at a later stage.
Mm-hmm. And we could identify in our document and maybe come back to this in point, you know, at point A here or whatever, some of the key
where we
issues
need to drill down and
where we need to sort of drill down with some detail and expansion of what it needs to happen.
Yeah, no, this is by far, you know, much more understandable. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, I think this is great. It will certainly make the document that we're preparing much more understandable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. So, okay.
And eventually this will be a diagram on the wall around here somewhere. So where are we at? We'll keep it in the hearing room. People will go, where are we at here?
Well, and I could actually see this being modified and included with every single project.
Absolutely.
And so you have a date, you know, so when
you actually put some dates on here.
Yeah, so when you populate the calendar for staff doing work and laying out things, then once those dates are set, they are either linked or they're added here as well, just so this is an easy place for the public then to see where we're at in the process.
It gives a firmness to the entire thing rather than nebulous
does.
120, 180, what does it mean? You know, at least it translates from the abstract numbers to concrete dates.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does that seem reasonable, Jennifer?
Well, probably, depending on what program we're using.
Okay,
I don't know how transparent it is on the website, but depending on what software we're using, we're already plugging in dates now, so.
Okay.
Obviously, John would have to approve it before I say yes, we can do that, but I'm sure something will work.
Yeah. Okay.
Even as a baseline tool at some meetings with staff, comes to them and can explain the neighborhood association or whatever, just mark off, you know, right? This is, here's where we're at. This is, here's the important piece of your points or where we need to get input from you or that kind of thing.
Yeah, you have a common foundation of understanding.
Yeah.
So it seems that we've probably
beat that
a little bit. A little bit, yes.
I may take an extra one in case I ended up marking on it.
Yeah, I thought I would do that as well.
Seems like there's a few extras around here.
That would be great. Thank you. So the only, looks like the only other thing that we have is Carrie's write-up on early involvement. Do we want to go through that at this point, or wait until the next?
Yeah, when she's here, she probably will have to give some clarification, or questions, answers.
And it looks as if she has some questions on here, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think the most challenging part of uniting all of these different pieces is going to be a common format. And I think we tried to do that to some degree ahead of time, but I think it's going to take someone with good editing skills to make all of them consistent.
And then we can decide too if we go back to my table and how we might supplement my table a little bit, because that could help in just cross-referencing. Because I like that visual
graphic. I do too. And so if the table is at the front ahead of these written pieces, I think that would
So you're talking about merging all the...
As an overlay piece, I think you're talking about.
Yeah, the table that Russ worked on. And
yeah.
And just to have, because from that, the items in that table, that's where these write-ups came from.
Uh-huh.
And depending on the item in the table, like early involvement, then there were education components, potentially administrative or code amendments, and not every item had all three of those. So
I guess maybe for why doesn't everyone make sure that they read Carrie's little write-up and have thoughts or questions or comments back? And one of the thought could be, you know, to, in lieu of our meeting next time, get them into John by that meeting date, or certainly by the 23rd. Mm-hmm. We kind of want to get everyone's feedback.
You know what might be helpful too is if, I mean, we have Carrie's, and I know if I go through stuff, I've got Ken's, and there were a couple of others I think as well. It might be nice just, you know, if those could all be resent.
Yeah.
Just so everyone has
them
all
to John, or
if John could resend them to the whole committee, just so we all have the current version, just to be ready for next.
If we're gonna, depending on how it goes, and if there's a couple of missing pieces, Bob and I were thinking of putting our heads together and just assembling it into one to get it better organized in one thing might be better use of everyone's time than to be swimming through different ones.
Yeah.
And we could do that pretty quickly.
Okay.
Kind of merge them and then start working on the draft.
But I think the point you're making is that at the moment, each person's contribution doesn't have a firm structure.
I think there are different structures, but then also just, since I have one or two to go and Emily has one to go, that...
Some of them are in, they all have their uniform in the terms of having a little background, mm-hmm. yeah. and then they address the education, the administrative, mm-hmm. and the code pieces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're uniform in that sense, but not all the categories necessarily have something significant in any one of those.
Right, right.
But every one of the document is addressing some key issues, right?
Yes. And some of those are identified in the table.
In the table. We had about eight of them or something like that, seven or eight kind of fundamental areas that we were getting little write-ups on.
Yeah. I mean, what will make your job of merging them together easy, or at least easier, is to make sure that when you're reviewing them before you merge,
exactly.
That they.
This is what the table looks like.
Right. Right.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
I was going to dig one up.
Education, administrative, and code.
Okay. So I think we're pretty much there for this evening.
So the next meeting is January 23rd. Am I right?
Right.
Okay.
And we're supposed to look at the flowchart and make comments and look at
Carrie's
work.
And if you have any little pieces that you're supposed to be working on, get them done. The sooner the better.
If any light bulbs have turned on and there's further enlightenment.
I still had a few little revisions to make. I think in the last version that I did, there were just a couple things I was supposed to do. I have to go back and dig that up.
Okay.
I've just been sucked into other priority items.
Understand that. So, any other member comments this evening? Any other things related or not related? Okay. We're adjourned at 6:40.
Thank you.